It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we talk to the director of the Islamic Society of Milwaukee about how the state's Muslim community is dealing with increasing concerns about Islamophobic rhetoric around the nation and here in Wisconsin.
First, we're back from the holidays, and less than 4 weeks remain before the Iowa caucuses. It's our weekly look at national politics with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We'll take a look at how the frontrunners are faring and if there's any chance of a shakeup in the coming weeks.
And yesterday, President Obama announced his executive actions aimed at addressing gun violence. The Republican field has widely criticized the move, but Hillary Clinton has doubled down on gun control since the start of her campaign.
Harry Enten joins us each week at this time. Harry, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's start with some recent news about North Korea announcing that they have tested successfully a hydrogen bomb. Now, there's differing reports about whether or not this is true or not, but it does seem to be a pretty big occurrence on the national stage when it comes to foreign policy, both for the White House and for the candidates sounding off. How big a deal is this?
Well, I mean, it depends, obviously. I think we'll learn more in the coming weeks and months ahead about what exactly North Korea did. But again, this focuses the election back on foreign policy, which has been sort of what's been going on the last few months, away from the economy. And Republicans are trusted more on foreign policy at this point than Democrats are. So if this trend continues for the next few months, it will be good for Republicans heading into the general election. In terms of the primaries themselves, I think that this is probably not bad news for Donald Trump, who likes to talk a big game on foreign policy. I'm going to make him do X, Y, and Z. Not exactly explaining how he will do that, but talking a big game, a lot of bravado. So for him, I think this is pretty decent news. We'll allow him to keep his lead in the national polls. But, of course, this is a state-by-state contest. And in those contests, it's a little muddier.
Well, what about Hillary Clinton? You said this is good for Republicans, but she's got, obviously, a lot of foreign policy experience, is not necessarily considered a pacifist or an isolationist. Does that make her a stronger candidate then against Republicans than Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley?
Sure. So, you know, we're talking specifically about the primary. I think that it's good news for her versus Sanders or O'Malley because she gets to talk up that foreign policy experience that you just brought up. And remember, Bernie Sanders really doesn't tend to like to talk much about foreign policy. He'd much rather focus in on the election, on the economy, and upon income inequality. So that's good news for Clinton on that front. But in terms of the broader general election, I'm not so sure, because her record as Secretary of State a few years ago was viewed as strong. But these days, because of events like Benghazi, of events with her email accounts at being when she was Secretary of State, it's a little more of a muddled picture. So I'm not quite sure. It's not probably bad news for her, but I'm not quite sure it's good news for her.
So do you think in the election she is going to be able to talk up that foreign policy experience, or is it more of a liability?
You know, that's going to be one of the great questions of this campaign. And which Hillary Clinton do voters see? Do they see the person who had approval ratings when she was Secretary of State that were mostly in the 60s? Or is it the Hillary Clinton that voters view now, who most voters have a negative opinion of? I'm not really quite sure. I think it partially depends on who the Republican nominee is. I mean, if it is somebody like Donald Trump, who I don't think it will be, but if it is, then I think Clinton clearly can play the experience card. But if it's somebody who's perhaps a little more serious of a candidate from a policy perspective, who's laid out more detailed policies, say like a Marco Rubio, then I'm not really quite sure whether it will be beneficial to her. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, because you have got this foreign policy issue looming large right now, you've got terrorist threats globally, you have this H-bomb thing now, and other things gathering. Does this mean that candidates who might not be so strong on foreign policy are not going to get a pass this year?
Well, I think we've already seen what foreign policy did to Ben Carson. I think Ben Carson's campaign probably would have melted down anyway, but once foreign policy became an issue in the forefront, his campaign melted away. His numbers have fallen off nationally in Iowa and New Hampshire. So, yeah, I think that if you get into one of these debates, you know, we're going to have a few more of these Republican debates, and you clearly don't know what you're talking about on foreign policy, I think it could be very damaging your campaign. People right now, Americans are really scared about what's going on overseas, and if they view a candidate being unserious, someone who can't protect them, especially on the Republican side, I think it could be very bad news for so said candidate.
Is foreign policy, and specifically the threat of terrorism, the issue in this race as you see it so far?
I think, you know, if you look at the polls, we see that foreign policy and terrorism have moved up to being two of the most important issues. You know, if you look back a few months ago, it was really the economy. But right now, foreign policy and terrorism are leading among the top issues, and most voters tend to trust Republicans on those issues than they do Democrats.
And let's look at the White House here. What sort of effect does this news about the H-bomb testing do to the President Obama's administration?
Well, I think, you know, obviously we're entering the final year of President Obama's administration. He's dealing with a Republican Congress, so I don't really think there was going to be much done on that front anyway. But in terms of his overall approval rating, we have seen it, you know, I wouldn't say it's dropped, but it certainly hasn't risen. And if you look close enough, there has been maybe a small drop from, say, like 46, 47, and maybe 44-45%. And that may seem small. But it does indicate that Americans are paying attention. And when you look at the 2016 election at large, there are some indications from past elections that the approval rating of the president does make an impact. Remember, Bush's fell through the floor in 2008 and really hurt John McCain's chances of winning. A Democrat could still win. Hillary Clinton can still win with President Obama's approval rating at 45%. But it's somewhat more difficult to win when it's at 45% versus 47%.
Now, the president's term obviously is not over yet, but how does it look like he's going to be perceived when it comes to foreign policy?
I think, you know, this is one of the more interesting things about Obama's administration. When he started off, I think he was thought of as this guy, hey, he could repair bridges that were burnt overseas with the Bush administration. Then we captured Osama bin Laden, and I think you saw it in the numbers, his foreign policy approval ratings went sky high. But since that point, whether it be Benghazi, whether it be this H-bomb, whether it be Paris, Americans have started to view him a lot less favorably on it, so that at the beginning of his administration, where his foreign policy approval ratings were well above his overall approval ratings, now they're well below. They are a liability for him going forward.
We're talking national politics right now with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. And right now we saw another big executive action suite from the White House yesterday on the issue of gun control. How is that going over so far?
Well, it's going over wonderfully with Democrats. It is not going over so wonderfully with Republicans, which is, I guess, every single thing that the Obama administration says these days seems to follow that pattern. It's very party line. Look, if you look at the polls, you'll see, you know, Democrats really want stricter gun control on a whole host of issues. And if you look at the polls, Republicans are much less likely to believe that. But what the Obama administration essentially did with this was basically make sure that the laws that are on the book are enforced. And one of the big things was, you know, background checks, universal background checks. And those are overwhelmingly popular with both Democrats and Republicans, basically all voters. This is not something that's certainly going to harm the president. It's not something I think that voters are particularly concerned about at this point. If you look at the polls, gun control doesn't rank as the highest. If he had gone farther, you know, whether it be assault weapons or done something that really had a good shot at being reversed in the courts, then I think we might have seen a larger backlash, because gun control is an issue in which more voters trust Republicans than Democrats. It's not a particularly large gap. But the measures that he took, by large in part, were things that are viewed pretty favorably by the American public.
So you said gun policy right now, not the foremost in voters' minds, but will people vote on it, do you think?
There's some question, you know, as to whether you could pick up a few extra votes, say, in the Philadelphia suburbs, if you're the Democratic candidate and you're fairly strict on gun control, you know, where gun control tends to be something that is viewed more favorably by those who are better educated and wealthier. But it's not something that, in my mind, and if you look at the polls, is the deciding factor. It's something that could push you perhaps slightly more into the Democratic camp or somewhat more into the Republican camp. But stuff like the economy and terrorism at this point are looming much larger over this election.
You said, on the whole, Democrats like these executive actions from the president, but how is it going to affect Hillary Clinton, say, and those running?
Well, this is one of the more interesting gaps, if you look at the polling, between where Hillary Clinton's support is coming from and where Bernie Sanders' support is coming from. And you see that while a lot of voters like what Bernie Sanders has said about income inequality and has certainly moved to Clinton's left on that issue and has brought her a little bit further to the left, gun control is an issue where Clinton has been able to outflank Sanders on the left. She has a much sort of a better record if you're a gun control advocate than Sanders, who's a senator from Vermont, where obviously it's a lot more rural there and gun control is viewed less favorably. So I think that if gun control is brought up, it's something that certainly favors her over Sanders, and it's something that she has been able to use in these debates, and voters in the polls indicate that they view her more favorably on the issue of gun control than they do Sanders.
Now, the president has made a reputation for himself using executive powers like this, but these actions have limited applications. What role do you think things like this and immigration are going to have on his legacy if no real policy is made into law?
This is one of the things whereby what we view today may not necessarily what may be viewed tomorrow as being brave or being big action. But I think on the immigration front, there's a lot more there than there is on the gun control front, because immigration is not only an ideological issue, it's also an ethnic and a racial issue. So whereby when he implemented the executive actions, the executive orders on immigration reform, we saw that his approval rating among Latinos and Hispanics went up, and went up dramatically versus other groups that really stayed pretty much steady. Gun control probably won't see that same type of effect. So I think it obviously depends on the issue, but over the long term, if these bills are repealed, it's probably not going to change one way or another. But again, he doesn't control what Congress does. It's not exactly fair to say, oh, well, he didn't get anything through Congress. I mean, at this point, he could say anything pretty much, and the Republican Congress would say, we're not interested. No, thank you.
We're talking to Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking about the latest in national politics, including the Iowa caucuses just weeks away, President Obama's action on gun violence, and North Korea's claim that it tested a hydrogen bomb.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the current frontrunners in Iowa right now, Hillary Clinton and Ted Cruz? Could you see Ted Cruz winning the Republican nomination over current national frontrunner Donald Trump? How do you see gun rights and gun control featuring in the presidential election? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're back now with Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538. We're continuing our conversation about the latest in national politics.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think President Obama's plan on gun violence or his record of executive actions will have an effect on the presidential election? What do you make of the rise of foreign policy as an issue in this presidential race? And do you see it crowding out the conversation about the economy, or is that getting plenty of attention, too? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll take a caller now. We've got Mitch on the line in Fitchburg. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to make two quick points, which is, one, I think it's terrible that what's going on in Oregon is taking up so much attention by the media across the country when you got things like the deportations going on and we're sending combat troops back to Iraq. But my second point is, what I find very interesting about this election is, even though Hillary Clinton seems to be leading as far as the Democrats and Donald Trump seems to be doing well as far as the Republicans, when you talk to educated liberals and educated conservatives anywhere, they'll agree that Hillary Clinton does not represent the liberals, and Donald Trump, when you talk to educated conservatives, he does not represent the true conservative values. So it's really sad how this election looks like it's going to be one of the worst in history.
Mitch, thanks. Some interesting points there. And Harry, I'll let you touch on both of those, but let's start with the second one first. Do you think that the candidates out there in the field on both sides are not exciting the base on either side?
I think that, it's the definition of what is base. If you're talking about a base that, and the Democratic Party will start off with, that is white liberals, Hillary Clinton does not excite white liberals. That's for sure. Bernie Sanders' best group is white liberals. The liberals in the Democratic Party are overwhelmingly white. But I would argue that, in fact, the Democratic base is not white liberals. It's minority voters. These are the voters that turn out election after election for Democratic candidates. And these minority voters are much more likely to identify as moderates. And Clinton certainly does excite them. So I think it's a matter of what you define as a Democratic base. And she does very well among what I would define as the Democratic base, but not as well, perhaps, as what the caller might describe as the Democratic base. On the Republican side, I'm in agreement with the caller. It's very true. Donald Trump's worst group is actually very conservative voters. He does better among Republicans who identify as moderates and liberals. And that's, I think, one of the reasons why I've been so doubtful of Trump's chances, is that there are more Republican voters who identify as conservative than do as moderates or liberals. And I think that as this election goes on and voters start paying a little bit closer, more attention, that Trump will eventually fade because he's not in ideological lockstep with the conservative base of the Republican Party.
And real quickly, do you think that the Oregon occupation is sucking up news time?
We certainly see it, but I think that I'm not particularly worried. I think that that will sort of fade. It's not as big as, say, you know, I see a lot more about Donald Trump on the news than I see about Oregon.
Talking with Harry Enten right now, Central Times political correspondent. He's from 538. We're talking national politics, and we're going to go next to John in Milwaukee. John, hi.
Hey, hi. So basically, I want to say I think so. There is a lot of frustration about the gun law, but I completely support President Obama's act. And I think so. This country right now, they need something to stop this violence. Little kids, small kids in the school, they got slaughtered. And if those guns get in the hand of the terrorism or any person in this country, it's got to people get killed and harmed. So I think so. Might be the executive order is not a right option, but I think so we are going in the right way. I think so we need to do something, and, you know, like now it still might be awake the people. And second thing, I believe that executive action won't impact the presidential election.
All right. Thank you, John. We're going to give you the last word on guns there. You're thinking this is a move in the right direction for John. And Harry, we're going to move on now. We're going to talk about the Iowa caucuses, because you're heading there to Iowa next week, in fact. What are you going to be looking for?
You know, first I'm going to be looking to talk to actual voters on the ground instead of being stuck up here and making my, you know, analyses through the numbers. But no, I mean, what I'm going to really be looking for is whether or not the enthusiasm that we see for Ted Cruz in the polling numbers is realized when talking with voters on the ground, and whether or not the people who claim that they support Donald Trump are actually going to turn out and vote. There's a lot of questions as to whether Trump can actually turn out voters who are saying in the polls that they'll vote for the candidate who I think most people would acknowledge is the celebrity candidate, or whether or not they'll stay home because they just don't have an interest in going out and sitting through a caucus. And indeed, there is some evidence that suggests that some of Trump's supporters don't even know when the caucus is. So those are the things that I'll be looking for, is whether or not Trump voters will actually turn out and whether the Cruz phenomenon is for real.
Well, without getting too wonky, how do you figure that out if people are actually going to vote for Donald Trump or not?
Well, I, you know, there are a number of ways you could do it, but, you know, I tend to trust people when they say, am I going to turn out or not? You know, Ann Selzer, who's the best pollster in the state of Iowa, tends to call all voters who could possibly take place in either of the Republican or Democratic caucus, and she basically asks them, are you going to turn out or not? And that has turned out to work out pretty well for her in terms of her poll accuracy. And a number of Trump voters who even are showing up at these rallies are saying, you know what, we're not sure we're going to turn out. That's not a particularly good sign, because it's one thing to get 25% in a poll. It's another thing to get 25% of the caucus electorate to turn out and spend an hour or two on a cold February night voting for you.
Okay, so short answer, you ask them. So
the old-fashioned way.
And who do you think is going to win in Iowa?
I think, look, that Ted Cruz is probably has the best chance of winning the Iowa caucus. That doesn't mean that he'll definitely win. Well, polls at this point are still not all that predictive. There's a large predictive margin of error. Remember, back in 2012, the 2012 Iowa caucus, Rick Santorum didn't really surge until 2 weeks before the Iowa caucus, were more than 2 weeks out. Or you can go back to 2004 on the Democratic side. John Edwards and John Kerry were fourth and third, respectively, and they ended up finishing second and first, respectively. There's still a lot of time for voters to change their mind and ultimately vote the way that they please.
Now, Politico reported recently that Donald Trump is putting together a database strategy for getting out the vote, even though early reports were saying, oh, he doesn't really know how this works. He doesn't have a ground game. What do you make of this news?
I mean, he definitely has some sort of data operation, but the question as to whether it's anywhere near as complex as his opponents is yet to be answered, and most of the evidence suggests that it's not. It's one thing to have a list of voters. It's another thing to actually have a way of turning those voters out. And most people believe that, in fact, he doesn't have that operation that's going to be in place, that he doesn't have the tools that are necessary to fully realize his support, which for him is unfortunate because I think that there is a lot of support for him if he could actually turn out voters that traditionally wouldn't turn out. But at this point, it doesn't seem like he has the tools that are necessary, even if he has a list of voters.
And before we let you go, I want to talk a little bit about Megyn Kelly. She's on the cover of Vanity Fair this month, and this is not her first glowing profile. And the story says that she's the Fox News crossover who's going to bring new, younger, maybe less conservative viewers into the fold. Do you buy that?
What I know is that the median Fox viewer is something around, is somewhere in the mid-60s. I think it was 67 is the median Fox News viewer, the age of the median Fox News viewer. I tend to doubt that she would bring a lot of younger people into the fold. I think it's always folly to think, oh, just introduce a younger face and you'll get younger people to tune in. I think that at this point that this Republican primary has taught us anything is the power has in fact not been in Fox News, but in fact has been in talk radio. And that's part of the reason that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz have been doing so well is they're favorites in talk radio. And they are not necessarily favorites, especially Trump on Fox News, but it hasn't mattered.
Harry, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That was Harry Enten, senior political writer and analyst for 538, talking with us about the latest in national politics. He joins us every week at this time.